Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I am Alex.
I am Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, of course, Twitch, Kick, Instagram, or maybe you're listening later wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you listen to them. We're on every major platform. And just a note, if you want to get ad-free versions of this podcast and all the podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. We also got a Black Friday discount going on.
Ooh, all right!
Black Friday, Black Fry 25? I actually should have looked that up before I
said Black Fry, nice.
Black Fry.
Great. I'm going to sign up for that.
Sounds good. Yeah, we could really use your money, Justin.
Support. If you can't support yourself, who can you support?
Wow, that's deep.
Couldn't agree more. Man. Very excited about this pre-Thanksgiving show for you all. So I'm not going to waste any time in bringing on our guests. They are two of the folks behind 2000 AD's, it's not exactly a reboot, but it is a big continuation of Rogue Trooper. The story is called Ghost Patrol. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex DeCampi and Neil Edwards. Welcome.
Hey,
hello.
Welcome.
Hey.
How
you doing?
How are you doing? Very excited to chat. Very excited to talk about this. The story is awesome. So this is, for anybody who doesn't know, it's serialized currently in 2000 AD. There's 16 parts total. It's going to run right through Christmas. And this is, so please correct me on it, because like I'll fully admit, 2000 AD, unfortunately, is like a little bit of a blind spot for me. And certainly I looked into Rogue Trooper and Ghost Patrol, read the whole thing and everything. And it's an awesome, crazy sci-fi story. But like, is this rebooting elements? Is this just kind of going back and giving the origin that's not been quite told in this fashion? Or how do you view it?
Okay, there's something like 30 or 40 years of Rogue Trooper out there. There's a lot of continuity, some of which, you know, departs radically from the original concept, some of which sticks to it. You know, different writers and artists come in and they put their own vision on it. And, you know, 2000 AD is a weekly magazine in the UK. It's published, you can get it online here on 2000 AD Online. They have an app read the prog, it's called the program, as opposed to the Meg, which is the magazine, which is monthly, as it comes out day and date. And it's really having a wonderful couple of years. I mean, I'm probably the least talented person on there right now. Really great stories. I mean, Rob Williams and Henry Flint. Henry Flint's doing the work of his career on Judge Dredd right now with Rob and Art Wyatt writing. I highly recommend picking up any of the recent Williams, Flint, Wyatt, Dredd stuff. It's just fantastic. There's just so much talent on the prog right now. But anyway, the stories are serialized in 6-page increments. So if you've ever tried to write a comic and you've been like, God, 20 pages, it's how do you get the whole story in there? Like, how do you make that a complete story? Well, in England, we do it in 6 pages. Well, in the UK, we do it in 6 pages. Sometimes a little more. Like, Neil, what was that one? The one with there was the one with the guns and the that was like 8 pages because I couldn't do
something. Yeah.
There's one or two that I went a little bit long on it. Like, you know, Thar gave me like special dispensation to do that. And so what we were doing was we were doing a Rogue Trooper. And you always have to balance these things because everybody loves something. Even the run that like you as a writer just can't stand. There's someone out there that stands that run so hard. And I won't mention which ones I can't stand because I'm here. I'm all about like the piece on the timeline right now.
Good.
But it was a very difficult remit for Neil and myself, because what we had to do was do like a chapter one Rogue Trooper without doing like an Ultimates version where it's a complete mm-hmm. reboot and like the rest of it doesn't exist. Sort of like, which is what I'm doing with Dan Dare. We had to do something that was, that if you knew nothing about Rogue Trooper and someone just handed you episode one of Ghost Patrol or the Ghost Patrol trade as it will be, you could read it and be like, oh, I totally get this. And then when you mm-hmm. saw the film, you'd be like, oh yeah, I know that. And I know this. And you know, it all makes sense. And it also had to be very respectful of the great amount of continuity that's come before us, the wonderful stories by other writers and artists, and the fans that love them. It was at once kind of chapter one, bro, and at the same time full of commentary and Easter eggs and little twists on things that people who had grown up reading Rogue Trooper would get immediately.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but like, so then what was the progression? Because that's you've already said a lot of like a balancing act, basically, you were doing where you're.
Oh, it was a high wire act. I mean, like,
yeah, you're processing a ton of information from the past and telling a story that has to be, you know, page one new reader ready. But also it's in, and it does seem harder to me, 6-page increments, like. Yes. That's like maximalist to minimalist. So yes. What is your like research and note taking as before you dive in?
I mean, I a long time ago, 2000 AD gave me like access to absolutely everything on the app, which has made it so easy to research stories and check up on recent continuity. So I just like disappeared for a month and just read like
a month.
Trooper. And just like kept messy notes in a notebook. I was like, what if we do this? And what if we do that? And, the first couple of times, like the first couple of pitches, Tharg was like, nah, you don't have it. And then finally we got to a place where I did have it. Just because, you know, he had a very specific vision for the sort of thing he wanted. Then when he's like, oh, you know, I want chapter one, bro, but don't insult the old fans. I'm like, oh yeah, no. Okay. Now I get it. Mm-hmm. And I saw an early assembly a couple of years ago of Duncan Jones's Rogue Trooper film. So I knew it was going to be in that. The stories do not spoil each other. They are kind of separate but equal in a way. Like there's a couple of tangential points of intersection, but nothing that the movie doesn't spoil Ghost Patrol and Ghost Patrol doesn't spoil the movie, but they are knowledgeable of each other. That's the best way I can say it.
Oh, just another plate to spin, I
guess. Yep. And then Neil had to draw all of it going like from, you know, because it moves really fast. Like there's I took on the old like, you know, superhero comic scripting thing of like, there has to be a fight every issue to keep the fans happy. But here there had to be a fight every 6 pages. And I always joke that I'm a person who likes to write characters talking about their feelings in kitchens, or even worse, characters talking about their feelings in cars. Mm-hmm.
So cinematic.
All the awkward conversations in my life have happened in cars. Maybe I'm just
truth.
I do want to mention just before I forget, this is a total tangent, but mm-hmm. every week on the show, we have a professional chef down in New Orleans named Brett Macris. He works at a place called Shift that he co-owns. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. If you're ever down in New Orleans, check it out. But he either curates or creates a cocktail for us. And this week he created one based on Rogue Trooper. That Blue Man Group. It is mezcal, blue curacao, gin, lime juice, honey, and a lime wedge. There you go. Probably maybe the perfect strong drink for a strong soldier fighting his way through New Earth, potentially.
That was great.
I'm into
anything with mezcal and lime.
Yeah. well, there you go. Yes, I will send that to you afterwards. Should have sent it to you before, but there you go. That's the Rogue Trooper. And I should mention, by the way, for anybody who doesn't, like me, is not quite as familiar with Rogue Trooper. So the general gist of this story, at least the way that it's set up, and this is something that pre-exists, but you lay it out really nicely over the course of the story as well, is
A grim future where there's only war.
Yes.
Future,
and, and there's a blue dude who is a soldier with no shirt, and his best friends are his gun, his helmet, and his backpack. Is that kind of fair to throw out there as well?
Yes. I mean, that's a super condensed version, but yeah.
Yeah.
The future, a war between two parts of Earth, essentially, are fought on this polluted, bombed out planet called New Earth. You have the Southers and the Norts. The Norts are the bad guys. They're kind of fascist coded. And the Southers are mostly the good guys. But, you know, anytime you're dealing with military intelligence and military decisions, not everybody is good. The Southers, to try to win the war, created these genetic infantrymen, the blue dudes, who could withstand the poisoned atmosphere. Everybody else has to fight in like a NBC suit, nuclear, chemical, biological warfare suit, because the acid rain will eat your skin. They created these genetically modified warriors to win the war. That did not happen, and that's all I can say about it. Rogue Trooper is the last one left. His gun, his helmet, and his backpack are the backup data of his friends, his fellow troopers.
Neil, just turning it over to you for a second, when you're capturing this world, there's obviously like a deep bench of looks for it, going all the way back to Dave Gibbons, of course. But what's your take on it? Like, since this is, again, like not a reboot, but like a side boot, if that's any sort of word, what were you thinking of, particularly for the main character, when you were trying to reinvent him for this story?
I wanted to give it my own take on it. I initially just looked at, I did loads of like sketches of initially when Matt sent us the script, and I was like, oh my, it was like really intimidating. I was like, because it's such an iconic character in the UK. And I did loads of sketches. And one thing I really wanted to do, I wanted to bulk him up a little bit. So I just imagined if he was, you know, this guy, he's just there bare-chested on the battlefield. He's going to be trying to rally, you know, rallying the troops. So I wanted to make him larger than life, almost like he could take on a tank by himself. So I bulked him up a little bit from previous versions. And one little thing, I give him like black nails as well. I don't know if anybody's noticed that, but I thought that'd be really cool, just like black nails, just to differentiate himself from humans as well. But yeah, I think that with it as well, I really wanted to explore like the design language of each of the different factions, you know, on New Earth as well. So each of the tech and the weaponry has got its own style. So I did a lot of research on some military weaponry and tanks and things like that. So I hope that's paid off from the look and the architecture of the buildings as well, you know, where they go.
Neil has to draw a lot, like a lot. Like my script is really easy. This one moves really fast, and it's always got new locations, new characters. And like, because you're so condensed, it's like, here's this new character on page one of a 6-page episode. You need to be able to track who they are immediately through the episode. Yeah. And we tried to do that with some like, you know, animation style considering of like silhouettes and gender and height and stuff like that. So you could be like, oh, this person is like shorter and whiter and has dark hair, and this main character is skinny and tall and has blonde hair. And so you can see them, you can see the difference. But yeah, Neil had like, he had to draw mechs, he had to draw giant tanks, he had to draw, desert battle installations. There's some underwater stuff. He gets to draw everything. And from a point of view, he's obviously an artist who cares a lot about design. And like, there's a whole bunch of new stuff to design every episode. Man, I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. I love it because it really gets you involved into the story. It's like not just strictly just the storytelling, and obviously the action and the character interactions. That's great, but like just doing like the design work as well, it feels like you're on a movie. And it's, you know, I've worked on some movies and stuff before, and it's, you only get that after, you know, working on storyboards and things. Mm-hmm. You get all that as a big package. So it was so refreshing just to you know, take that on. And right from the start, it was up to you what you wanted to put into it. I knew it was going to be like 16 parts as well, so it was going to be a big stretch, but it was fantastic. I loved it. Loved every minute of it.
Well, and what I love about specifically the art is, I feel like in a big hard sci-fi story that doesn't spend a lot of time like being like, so here's New Earth, and the way it works is this: it's just like you're in it, like you need that sort of grounded art style to really carry you into it and make it feel very like, you know, hard. It felt like the your art really felt like a James Bondian or like something that really like gave me a tactile. Like I feel like I could touch everything in it on the page.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah, it was weird as well because it's it's the first time I've done, I've done little bits for 2008. I've come from Marvel and DC initially. So I used to work like on with, I worked on FF with Hickman. I did a load of like DC work as well, with Jeff Lemire and things. So it was like, it was such a different, I don't know, it was like a different vibe working on like a, almost like a military, story, you know, ignore all the sci-fi, but it was like strictly military. And it was like, you had to reevaluate how you were going to do it. Some things that would work in a superhero book wouldn't work in this. So like the storytelling and the pacing might be slightly different, the composition of the page. So it was like a real, you had to switch brains a little bit. Working on it, you think, I can't, Superman couldn't, you know, you wouldn't be able to get away with this on Superman. But,
well, how did it feel for the 6-page story, sort of each story was 6 pages? How'd that work for you, Neil? Was that like, were you like, ah, this is going to be
really dicey. Hard. It's because I did a Judge Dredd script, and it was like because when you get the script from like say Marvel, you can basically muck about with it a little bit. So you can go right, even though they say right, there's 4 panels on this page. If you feel it's going to need a big panel, you can make a big splash page of it. So you can move it around, but because it's so condensed within 6 pages. And you've got all that information of story you've got to put in it. It's, you know, always got to treat it as if it is like a storyboard for a film, and you've got to really plan it out. So some bits I was like working on a page and going, right, that's not working. It's really not working. I need to have that action shot breathe a little bit. So I'll move some of the panels onto the other previous page, or put in like little insert panels just to hook the panel, you know, the storytelling along a little bit. So, but it was like, wow, it was amazing to do, because it really made you think slightly different, like you're saying, you know, from the DC Marvel work, where you've got that time to breathe a little bit. Everything has to be crammed into those 6 pages, and the story moves at such a fast pace. Yeah. It's like, wow, I've got to cram all this story in.
I kind of overpanelled it. I got to admit, like there was some bits where I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I mean, the way I work is that like Neil got the entire story. Like in one, like all 16 episodes got sent to him.
Wow.
So,
oh wow.
Yeah. So he had the luxury of like, at least it was all there and none of it he wouldn't be waiting on me. And he also got a note at the front, which I pretty much always put in, which is like, look, you know, I paneled this in quite detailed ways and called shots. I'm doing that because like, I'm weirdly OCD and have to do it. Please ignore anything that doesn't work. This is just like that's me nice. Trying to do my best to make sure that the page I'm delivering to you works on like a basic level of visual pacing. But then like, if you go to it and you're like, no, like, you like actually like it should be 4 panels and we can combine these two. And like, Alex, we don't need a silent reaction panel. Why do you do that? Like, put down the Naoki Urasawa and slide it to the side. Mm-hmm. This is not
it was great though, because getting those 16 parts in one hit, you could really visualize the story of where it was going to go, and it give you a chance of like, you know, little things you could put for earlier on in the story that's going to pay off later on.
That's really cool. Because I have to like, so I'll be writing episode 10 and be like, oh shit, I need to go like fix a little bit of dialogue in episode 2 or like change something to make the payoff later on work better. Yeah. Because I'm terrified that if I just like do it like a normal person and just hand in, you know, issue by like episode by episode to Tharg, like I'll do that and I'll be in the middle of like episode 7 and be like, oh god damn it, I could just go back. And you can't do, I mean, you can do that, but like everyone in like the comic production pipeline is going to think you're a giant jerk.
Yeah, they're mad at you. They're mad at you in that way. That's good. Keep it tight.
Do you feel like, I mean, you do a lot of different comic work, Alex. Do you feel like this pacing, the way that you approach this, is this something that you would be able to take to a monthly format, or is it very specific to these 6-pagers?
I mean, I tend to avoid monthly formats, not because I dislike them. They're a wonderful art form. It's just because of the way my life is and the way I write. The last monthly book I did was with Cliff Blazinski, was Scrapper, which was great fun. I love Cliff. I love the art team. There was someone on the art team who was super late. I letter the book because also I can be a little bit sloppier with dialogue and like sound effects.
When you're
and later, that's funny. Well, this is good because like I also, you know, like most comics writers, I overwrite a little bit. So when I'm lettering it, I can be like, why did Pass Me do that? Or like, oh, we don't need that dialogue because the art carries it. Or, oh, the art doesn't quite carry this point, so I need to put a sound effect here to like make sure they see the keys being picked up, or add a little bit of explanation here. So it's essentially a further editing round and a way of making sure that my cat ruffles and say hi.
Yeah, no, the cat tail looked like a snake for a strong. I was like, what is that happening? Very Beetlejuice coded. Oh. I love that you snuck in. You snuck in a hack. You hacked comics to give yourself one last look at all of your work.
I'm the world's slowest letter. I love it. I really enjoy the graphic design part of it, but oh my God, it's the least efficient process known to mankind. And I need to just let go of it, but I never will. So, you know, that process of getting, you know, having to letter an entire, and this is like stuff that every letterer faces, like having to letter an entire book in like 12 hours to make a deadline, make your print deadline because somebody else was late. Like it, the letterers always get squished in this process and it's terribly unfair and they all deserve like a giant thank you and hug and a stiff drink if they're if they drink when you see them, because there's like, this is just constant. And like, you know, there are letters that have to letter four books in 12 hours to get to the deadline. I really prefer to write standalone graphic novels that aren't serialized first, because then I write the entire script like a freak and then the artist draws it like in between other things and like when they have time, and you know, because the page rates for graphic novels are, for any of this, is never what it is to be a like a living wage. So like having the entire graphic novel script there means the artist can be like, oh, like, okay, so Marvel is going to pay me, you know, $X per page for this mini series, I'll do it, and you know, in around that I'll work on Alex's thing. And then we get books out. And so I do feel that like Rogue Trooper was a really, really good reminder of like how much fun, like mainstream fast paced action is. And I should write less crying in cars and more. So we're sort of doing that. Yeah. I mean, then I moved on to Dan Dare, which was just has a little bit of crying in spaceships, but like, you know,
I wanted to ask you about something you mentioned earlier. So for the folks who don't know, like you said, Duncan Jones made a movie of Rogue Trooper. I believe it's done by this point and just TBD in terms of release date. You also worked with Duncan Jones a couple of years back on a project called Maddie, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Was it just coincidence that you ended up on Rogue Trooper as the same time as doing this, or was there like cross back?
Rogue Trooper was after, so I think Tharg thought, since I, like, Duncan and I were like remain pretty good friends, you know, I don't know exactly where Rogue Trooper is, because like you don't really call your friends up about work, like that's not a
right.
He knew that I was friends with Duncan, and that I probably knew what was going on in the movie and could make sure that, like, you know, we weren't yachting off in one direction, yachts off in another. You know, maybe that, maybe Tharg just liked my work, and you know, there was Tharg sometimes have to like give me a little like sort of upside the head to like remind me to pitch. He'll have to call me up and be like, Alex, I want a two-part Judge Dredd thing, and I want it by like in 2 weeks. I'm like,
oh my God, what a dream. You have people calling you to pitch that. How'd you work that out?
Well, I mean, if you just don't pitch anybody and they realize the only way to actually get you to work on their comic or for their publisher is to contact you because you're off like writing some insane 250-page medieval heist story, then, you know, I'm just doing my thing. I'm just writing books. Like, and so if people want me to write books for them, they have to call me. Otherwise, I will keep writing my own books. And I got to say, like, it's, you know, I have a day job, so I'm able to do that. So I'm not like always having to chase people for miniseries gigs and stuff like that. So I'm working from a very privileged position. Writers can do that. Artists sometimes can. Like Ryan Howe, who is my artist on Bad Karma, had a day job as a graphic designer, and he did the book, you know, when he around evenings, weekends, family commitments, etc. But it's slower and harder for writers to do, for artists to do that. sorry, she's just gonna be there.
No, it's very cute. For anybody listening on the podcast later, the cat just sort of like did a Wilson from Home Improvement over there.
Wow, oh, nice. I reference. Was gonna say Apocalypse Now, but that's a different, okay. Different thing.
Same sort of genre.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say like a peekaboo situation, but
we've all got our different
things. We've all got our take.
So the story is ongoing now. It's like we said, running until Christmas. Before we let you go, though, is there anything else you want to plug? Other projects you want to talk about? Neil, yeah. Anything else people should be checking out from you? Obviously, Rogue Trooper, but anything else you want people to see?
Nothing at the moment. No, I've been working on like so many storyboards this year. It's ridiculous. It's mad. So I worked on the new Moana film.
Oh,
I worked on Tron, the new Tron one.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And there's, what's it called? The new Henry Cavill one as well. That's right, it's gone. I can't remember what it is. But yeah, there's another one that. So it's just been massive amounts of work. So it's been lovely working on, you know, some comic work as well. So what I like to do is have like a nice, juicy comic stuff to do per year. And like Rogue Trooper was absolutely perfect for that, as well as doing like, you know, illustration work and things like that. So yeah, awesome. It just doesn't stop.
Yeah, it's nice. Both of you are the phone's ringing. That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's exciting when the phone's ringing.
It's like, that's why I said I would be up late. I'm always up late.
Yeah.
And Alex, what about you? Anything else folks should be checking out?
I mean, other than my existing work, like I'd say Pick Up Bad Karma. Fast-paced action comedy. Again, I'm very heavily military-based. And Duncan Jones's and My Maddie, which is now out from Image Comics and can be gotten digitally, where it was before on a publisher that didn't offer a digital version. Awesome. I'd say also sign up for the Dan Dare Kickstarter. I'm taking on another well-known British sci-fi hero next year. We've already written the script for that because that's what I do. And I can, I'm going to drop this in the group chat here and then someone else can do it. And then eventually Tom Fowler and I are doing a medieval heist book, but I just need to finish.
You say medieval heist. That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Fowler. 11 other nights, you know.
Yeah. Very fun idea.
Awesome. Alex, Neil, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations on the book.
Really enjoyed the book.
I can't wait to see how it actually finishes up. Yes,
and by the end is awesome. Yeah, you'll love it. Yeah, it's great.
It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Have a great night.
Thank you guys. That's awesome. Thank you very much.
All right, there we go. Once again, you can pick up issues of 2000 AD to get Rogue Trooper Ghost Patrol. It's really great.
Yeah, it is.
And like we were saying, I mean this sincerely, that if you don't know a lot about this property, like I did not before this, you can pick this right up, get right in it, and find it to be an engaging, fun sci-fi adventure.
Yeah, sure. It goes hard. It reminded me of, I didn't say this before, but like Starship Troopers, if you're a fan of that. Like it has big ideas, big action, and there's just a lot happening very fast. So that's really, it's percussive. It's great.
Yeah. And folks, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions. And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments and we will get to it. But first, we had a question about this, so I'm going to bring it up if I can find it. I probably can't. Here we go. Fathead Dino says, just wondering, what are you guys drinking?
What's up, Dino?
That's not the answer, Pete.
Yeah.
I don't have a garage, but I got the beer.
Oh, great.
And I'm drinking a Negroni, essentially, but I used dry vermouth instead of sweet.
Ooh.
So shook it up a little bit, you know?
How is that? Do you like it?
Is that, can I do you like do that? Yeah. I don't know if that's legal.
It's
is
a
that
little lighter. It's a little, you know, there's a drink called a white Negroni that is completely sort of the opposite. And this is halfway in between, so it's a little lighter, not as,
you know, Stray Bullet works really hard on these. You can't just mix and match ingredients, all right? You got to do it exactly, otherwise.
He didn't
like
actually
you, right, Pete? Like you.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. You don't have a garage beer, but I made this cocktail in a beer can.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that would be fun if you just started mixing up weird shit into an actual garage beer can. I think that's your future.
Yeah. Ooh. Get some of that garage juice in there and drink that up. Well, there you go. I think we got to address the elephant in the room. We did talk
yes,
about
please.
This a little bit before.
Are you okay?
Okay. Yep. The question here, I'll bring up this one just randomly from the Greater Good 42. Are we not going to discuss the beard loss? Yes, I did shave my beard.
We're down a beard on this podcast.
No, Alex, you lost it. You lost that beard.
You lost it.
And if somebody can unlock the secret beard quiz and find my beard, I think they...
There's a lot of people saying that, Alex.
Yes, yeah, so there's a lot of scuttlebutt around that. You would have known if you had watched our interview with Chris Condon and Jacob Phillips about their Vertigo book that went up on YouTube.
Scolding
yesterday.
The audience.
Yeah, jeez.
Gotta check that out. I had no beard there either. So, you gotta.
I will say that was a great interview where we didn't talk about the beard, thankfully. But yes. Man, we talked to those guys for a very long time about that, all of the work that they're doing, and that was really cool.
Trust me, before and after the interview, we talked about the beard a lot because it was really throwing me off.
Something you all know is that Pete, whenever anything changes, Pete, like literally, can't deal. He cannot deal. And so this is, it's a tough, you know, there's a recovery process.
I need a little heads up. You know, I need a, it's like, a, hey, listen, before you get on, just so you know, some things have changed.
Sorry, go ahead, Justin.
I was going to say my joke. There's denial, and then there's whatever the four other steps are. I've never got that far.
I was just going to say that, and this is true, that after I told my wife, because she was home after I shaved my beard and thought about how I was going to tell my kids, I was like, I should really text Pete and let him know.
Yeah.
And that's crazy that's entered your
and one of your kids
knew
life.
What was going to happen. It was like trying to get ahead of it.
One of your kids cried, which made me feel very seen.
Was that the first time you saw yourself on my kids? I don't know.
Don't say it like that. Ever. Cool.
Kid representation. Anyway, we got
but
another...
you are okay, right?
I'm that's fine. What I just okay. shaved my beard, Pete.
All right,
what do you think? What just real quick, Alex? Pete, what do you think he's going through? The
I don't know. Sometimes it's a cry for help, sometimes it's like, hey, you know, maybe if you would have
Mid-life
been
crisis.
More present in his life, he wouldn't have, you know, done those things or whatever's going to happen to him, you know what I mean? So, wow. I want to say that I'm here, and if you need anything, you know, you're not alone, Alex. Okay,
Thank you so much, really appreciate that. But I just shaved my beard.
Okay.
I think growing a beard is more of a midlife crisis thing than shaving your
100%.
Beard.
Alex, that was pandemic, whatever, we're all going crazy. I was like,
so it was a pandemic. Straight
and now
bullet
that
had the
pandemic
quiz.
Is over and nobody is getting COVID anymore, I can take my beard off.
Just tell. I just said when I shaved my mustache, I said I was playing Gallagher, and that answered all the questions. So like if you could just
oh, okay. Yeah, I was playing Gallagher.
That's the only one that doesn't work, Alex. I think you need to think of... a more clean shaven comic, you know.
All right. We got a couple of questions here, or at least one. Ken and Melissa LG, Philip Kennedy Johnson exclusive news thoughts. So this broke a couple of hours ago. Philip Kennedy Johnson is exclusive to Marvel now. And if you're worried about his current DC work, we already knew that Batman and Robin, his run was going to end on that with number 30, I want to say, in February. The other outstanding title he has is Adventures of Superman, Book of L, which that my first thought was like, he has been gunning so hard to finish that up because that was the end of his Superman run for so long. Pete and I talked to him in Baltimore, and he was so psyched about being like, we're going to have two huge omnibuses that are going to collect the whole run. I was like, oh, man, is he not going to finish it now? But no, he is... going to finish that as well. That's all going to come out. But starting in January, he is exclusive to Marvel. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, first off, of course he's going to finish. I'm sure that's been the Superman run has been written for so long. Like, I know that it was going to end up coming out. But, I mean, it's exciting. I feel like he's really carved out a little universe around Hulk and his, I think... is it Infernal Hulk comes out tomorrow? Which excited for that. I really like the direction he's going in that. So, and I just like his storytelling. He goes deep. and is such a detail guy that, like, it's what I've been complimenting DC about a lot lately is their control of their story and the details, and what Marvel has been honestly missing in a lot of their storytelling. So I'm ready for, I think he literally is what Marvel needs right now, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, he's a great writer. I'm excited to see what that means for some Marvel projects. And the Hulk book has been insane. Also, the Superman stuff has been really good. So I'm excited to read the end of that. But it'll also be sad that it's wrapping up.
Yeah, the thing that, not to keep calling out this interview with Chris Condon and Jacob Phillips, but Chris Condon also just signed exclusive with Marvel, and we talked to him about that a bit. Like, I think we knew this stuff, but it was interesting to hear him talk about how basically he gets to shoot his shot on whatever as soon as he signed the exclusive. They were like, yeah, whatever you want to do. I will also mention, it certainly flew under the radar for me when we were doing the interview, and I didn't kind of like realize it until I was mulling about it later, but he told us he's doing something Star Wars, and
yes.
He just sort of like casually dropped that in there, and then we moved on, so I feel a little bad about not following up about that, but very curious to see what that means. The reason I bring this up with Phil Eddie Kidd, yes, what were you
going to say? Well, I was just going to say, especially at a time when the Star Wars Marvel line has been like pretty lull. It's in a lull. Like, yeah.
Alex Segura has his Star Wars title, but that's ending with issue 10.
That's what I mean. Just in general, like, it was very big for a while, and then there was the droid war and all that, and then it's been down to Alex's title and like what, two others maybe. And I feel like, though, I mean, that's the sign of opening up, right?
Yeah, I think this is what I wanted to get at, and the reason I wanted to bring up the Chris Condon thing again with Philip Kennedy Johnson is we haven't really heard news on, like, I'm signing an exclusive contract with Marvel or DC in a while. And this feels like, potentially, just reading the tea leaves here a little bit, Marvel addressing a little bit of that online conversation of, hey, what's going on creatively with Marvel? Like, I've already said, their sales are fine, so there's no impetus for them to be like, we got to really get in there. Marvel's really failing, because it's not. But I do think being like, okay, we got Chris Condon on lock, we got Philip Kennedy Johnson on lock, I would not be surprised if there's a third one we hear about in the next month or so, or maybe even more. But like, this to me feels like them being like, we got to get this talent under our roof to really be thinking about what the next iteration of Marvel is, particularly going into, not to tie into the movie stuff, but Avengers Doomsday coming out of the Avengers Secret Wars, they got to make sure that, like, the comics are firing on all cylinders as well.
Well, I think both those two guys are, like, they're heavy detail-oriented storytellers. Like, they're not going for flashy names here who are just going to, like a Mark Millar person who's going to come in and just drop a premise and be like, sick, right? These guys are, like, they're doing the work. And so it feels like Marvel knows that it's time to do that as they're building back up towards something.
And just to follow up, Alex, are you worried people aren't going to take you seriously when you're talking now? Because it's, you know, it just does. I'm like, oh, maybe in a couple of years when he's older, he'll have a little bit more life
experience. I think it's my youthful exuberance.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Yeah, more of a Jimmy Olsen type.
Yeah, get out of my face, old man.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's a TikTok journalist now.
Yeah.
Pete's legacy medium.
All right. This is from It Came for the Radio. Which superhero would you most like to go to Thanksgiving dinner with, and why?
Well, Wolverine will be able to carve turkeys, no problem.
That was my first thought as well. Pete, really look good at this. Bridging the generational divide.
Is that a struggle for you guys? And you just can't get into that turkey? Can't figure out how to get to it?
That's definitely panicking my wife right now. We don't usually make a turkey. We usually, if we have Thanksgiving at our place, she'll cook chickens because she doesn't like turkey at all.
There's tiny versions.
Yeah, they're like little turkeys, basically. But my son very specifically requested a turkey, and she was like, we got to watch videos on how to cut it. And I was like, I don't know. I think we can probably figure it out.
It's the same.
It's a little trickier.
Honestly, when you hit the bone, that's when you stop.
You keep going.
You have one of those old-fashioned electric knives that, like, vibrates a little. My grandmother had one of those, and we were like, cool, technology. And then we were like, this is making a huge mess. What a disaster this is.
Maybe the Thing, that would be fun. He'd probably have some fun stories and be boisterous and like pick up the kids over his head and stuff like
that. It's interesting. You guys both pick people who are like, they're messy though. Like, he's got rock hands. Wolverine, maybe he's, sure he's sharp, but he's not. He's got three knives. He's slicing all around.
Captain Cleanliness or something like that?
No, I want someone who's going to make the food taste good. You know what I mean? Like a
agent. Agent.
You want a superhero who's going to cook for you.
Oh, well, sorry. Are you cooking for the Wolverine and the Thing and their carving?
Yes, that was my assumption.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone brings a dish.
What kind of guest do you think? You know,
I think everyone's bringing a dish. And yeah, maybe I want to have Gambit come and inject some fucking Creole spices into it. Like Pete was so adamant about earlier.
That's how you got to do it. I deep fry my turkey in peanut oil and you got to inject Creole seasonings and spices in there.
Gambit could just shoot him from across the room on a playing card.
He'd make a turkey explode. What are you guys even talking about? If anything, you could have like Green Arrow come. He's always making chili constantly, so he could bring some chili or something.
Chili? That's not right. It's wrong.
I don't know. You can have whatever. Who cares?
Thanksgiving chili.
You can have whatever. Who cares? I think you want to have. You know what you really want is you want to have a group of friends over. So you want to have
Friendsgiving.
I don't know, the New Mutants from like the early 90s.
That's great. I'd like to have a Revelation come over and command everybody.
Yeah. The age of Thanksgiving. This turkey is a babble. I've taken language from this turkey and it will never speak.
Hey, family. This is Maggot.
Hey, me Maggot. Don't touch his friends.
Well, I think we talked about this. Easy Reader 7839 says, what are your Thanksgiving plans? We are having Thanksgiving here at our house. So starting tomorrow early, I'm going to be cooking nonstop for the next 2 days.
I head over to my brother's and we deep fry the bird in peanut oil and it's delicious.
And when did you hunt the bird? Did you have your muzzle loader handy to kill the Thanksgiving
No,
beast?
I don't. I don't partake in that, but thank you.
I have to stay in the city. I usually go to my fam or my wife's fam, but I have to stay in the city because I have a rehearsal for the show I'm doing on Friday at the Metropolitan Opera House. No questions, no answers.
Hey, Zalbin, did you know that this guy's a mascot in like a TurboTax?
No, commercials. Not Please what don't say it? TurboTax, H&R Block. I play Max Refund.
Do you know that, Zalbin?
No,
that...
I didn't. Oh, wait, the radio ads or TV ads?
No, that I'm in the suit.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
You didn't answer the question. Is it in
Congratulations.
The TV ads?
Yes. There's not a lot of... He doesn't speak, so he's not in the radio ads. So we're going to be in town, I think we're actually going to we're going to go to my wife's family that's nearby, and I will be cooking the turkey as well.
Nice. I'll have to check out these H&R Block commercials.
Yeah, man. Coming soon. More coming soon.
Awesome. Fred Istree says, which comics would you guys recommend to someone whose most recent comic was Immortal Hulk, a.k.a. me? Well, I think the easiest one is probably what we were talking about with Philip Kennedy Johnson's run on the Hulk. It is definitely a direct spiritual successor to it, for sure, and expands on a lot of those ideas.
I do have another recommendation from across the industry. I would recommend Poison Ivy. Is very good and definitely in that same world. If you enjoyed Immortal, I'm assuming you enjoyed Immortal Hulk, or you wouldn't have mentioned it. But like, Poison Ivy is a great, great long running comic. Start at the beginning, and it's a great ride.
Pete? Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of other Al Ewing stuff that would be great to check out. I always go with Lock and Key. That's always my go-to when somebody's like, what should I read?
That's a good one. I would throw Steve Orlando's Scarlet Witch on there.
That's
a good
one.
What's the Al Ewing book, Alex, that we talked to him about at New York?
Absolute Evil? Venom?
No, it was Thor? Another book. I don't remember, but there was one of his books I thought would fit.
Metamorpho?
Thor, I mean, no.
I'm sorry, right. Nat said that.
There you go. All right, that's a good place to start, though. This is from Holland FJ. Any good Black Friday comic deals you guys are eyeing? Black Friday comic deals. I was looking at the Tokyopop site for my son, because he's been very into Spy Family, the manga.
Oh, nice.
So I was seeing if there's any stuff there. The only thing they have, though, is not coming out until January. But they have a big sale going on. What else? There was definitely something I was looking for.
I should look up some Black Friday comic deals, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Is there that?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has it. Every store has them. I'm sure if I looked up Midtown Comics right now.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. Yeah.
We have one.
Yes. Ooh, they have today 50% off back issue incentives in Midtown exclusive comics, online only for Midtown. And then, they're through, 60% off indie back issues. So they don't have their Black Friday sales up, but they'll have something.
They usually do. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Bad answer there. Sorry, everybody. This is from A Greater Good 42. Any ideas or thoughts on the Mets offseason?
I mean, Pete, you probably have to answer this one, but you're a Yankees fan, right?
That's right. Yeah. New York Yankees. So, yeah, unfortunately, good luck, Mets.
A friend of mine became a Mets fan, and now that's like a defining thing about his personality. He wears Mets clothing a lot, and he seems unhappy constantly. So I think
it's tough
continue
being a Mets
to chase
fan.
The darkness.
It's tough.
Yeah,
it's
I would say read comics.
Yeah, that's.
I would recommend some horror comics like The Immortal Hulk for the Mets fans.
I'd say check out Kia Z.
All right, this is from Stray Bullet. Real question, there's been a lot of photos being released online of Secret Wars set photos with a bunch of the cast, including some X-Men, Tobey Maguire, etc. How much of this is true? So first of all, it's probably Doomsday, not Secret Wars, maybe, unless there's something I've missed. It is hard to tell, I think. Like, my thought is, if you've seen, I've seen the X-Men ones popping up. I don't know if you guys have seen them. I have not seen the Tobey Maguire one, but like, they're very clear and they're not set photos. They're literally like the cast in a trailer being like smiling, taking a family photo. And that to me makes it very suspicious. Like if it was something from like behind a light or something like that, or like on the screen.
Or a long lens.
Exactly. I'd it's believe a sneak it. Photo. A lot more than like, yep, we all posed, and then oops, it leaked. You know, it's possible, but that to me says probably some sort of photo manipulation.
Yeah, AI.
Oh, you think full fake?
Yeah, probably. Or maybe like augmented or something like that. I don't
maybe know. A deep fake is what you're saying?
Wow, look at Pete really speaking for his generation, using buzzwords that Alex would really would make fun of him for as a Gen Z member.
Six seven.
Good.
Oh yeah, really? Showcase.
Sorry.
That
now, huge. Now I actually think Alex, you're the old one. I think you've fully done it. You flipped the script. You can't hide that non-beard face. Here's the thing, though. My takeaway is Marvel's going to throw everything at the wall here. Like. Mm-hmm. If these photos are fake, maybe, but they're going to leak everything. They're going to show everything in tiny pieces. This is full marketing blitz. No stone unturned for China.
So you think they leaked it on purpose is what you're saying?
It's a Deadpool situation.
But here's the thing, like how much of this is true? You know, I think technically you could say it's all true. Like I think everyone's going to be on set for a day. If you know what I mean. Like, they're going to put it all there. And, like, who knows what will make the final cut of the movie? But everyone's getting the call to come in. This is the money drop.
So we know the X-Men are in it. The thing about this was, like, it was the X-Men in full classic costumes. Like, Cyclops with the little yellow thing. It was Mystique with the little skull on her forehead and all of that stuff. And, like, I believe they'll do that because this movie feels like pure fan service through and through. But it was just surprising to me that it was like, here we are. And then there was also weirdly a shot from their back. So maybe it was costume fittings or maybe it was just something weird somebody was doing. But I don't know. We'll know soon enough. Yeah. There's likely going to be a trailer before the end of the year.
Ooh, exciting.
Wow.
Stanley 299 says, are you fans of Stranger Things?
Yes.
And yeah, can't wait.
Here
we're
we go.
Down. Tomorrow, hours away. Exciting.
Yeah. I'm also very excited. It's already started to leak online, so if you don't want to know, stay off of it.
Have you seen all of the new season already, Alex?
I have not. They've been very stingy.
They're pretty tight about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Even Zalbatron.
Annoying, one might say, about it.
Wow, look at you. Yeah. Mad?
No. Yeah.
Mad? Mad?
Just annoyed. Nat Townsend says, I bet you guys have a lot of comic books, so what are some comics or comics-related gifts are you going to get for Christmas, Kanaka? What do you get the comic book man who has everything?
Ooh.
You know, that's tough. Get a lot of comic gifts from everyone in my life. Mm-hmm. I think they definitely are like, you, that's your little thing over there. You do. You get yourself your gifts for that. But I will say, when we're putting together our like best of year stuff, I definitely pick up, especially graphic novels that I feel like I've missed for myself. Mm-hmm. To try to flesh out the my world, because that's like that's a gap. Like we're reading so many weekly and monthly comics that like I don't read the graphic novels that pop off over the years much. So I really try to catch up on those during the holidays.
Yeah, I just the other day at Forbidden Planet here in New York picked up Drome for our Patreon book club, which we're going to be having in about a week or so. I'm excited to crack into that. Not really a Hanukkah gift, but it did feel like buying myself a little present.
Nice. Well, I can't wait to do that. Yeah, I always find that, like, I agree with the JT Sizz, it's tough because, you know, people have different tastes and very specific tastes when it comes to comics. Gift cards are always great. People who love comics would love a gift card to their favorite shop to be able to go get something. But what I try to do to personalize something is if I know, like, JT Sizz likes the Hulk, you know, at the comic book shop behind the counter, there's usually, like, a wall of older comics and find, like, a cool Hulk cover or something. And kind of pick something out like that where it's just kind of a fun, you know, like, hey, this is an old comic you probably haven't read, but, you know.
I'd also throw out there, we've been talking about this in the Patreon Discord a lot, and not specifically for Nat, if he's looking for gifts for himself, because I know he got this, but the recent Ice Cream Man, the Mortal Coil Shuffle, which they released an issue as a deck of cards, that to me is like a cool thing to get for a comic book fan, because it's not usually on the shelves. You do have to usually ask for it, or they have it on the counter. And it is a comic, but it's something that I think people wouldn't normally think of. So if you are looking for a gift for somebody, as long as they're an adult comic book fan, that might be a fun one to pick up.
Good call.
Also, lock and key is a good gift.
Yes. Wow. Singular.
Pete hitting the cycle.
Yes. And now it is time to hit the Pete cycle. Next section.
Unlock the key to Pete LePage.
Alrighty.
Whoa. Ooh, is that trivia. New music?
Yeah.
No, that was like music? That was like towards the end of audience questions, which we never play.
Yeah.
Someday I'll play the full song so people can.
Oh,
really
yeah. No, we got to release the soundtrack so people can really do
comic
that,
book club in concert with a full orchestra.
Oh, beautiful. Would love.
If you want to do trivia, say me.
Yeah, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics Online, because if you had $25, you probably want some comic books, you know what I mean? So all we need is a first hand up, a me, pick me, make JT Sizzle do it, you know, anything like that.
The last week, Alex, Pete had fun facts at the end of every question, and no one selected them. The fun facts were ignored.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I picked Easy Reader just because Easy Reader's hand went up first. Sorry to David Quinley, and the name changes some other week, I guess.
All right. All right, here we go. Today's trivia is about the comic Berserker and a small nod to the legend Samantha Eggar. R.I.P. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. This badass comic series called Berserker is written by Matt Kent and blank. Is it A, Keanu Reeves? B,
that seems crazy.
B, Allie, I wish you would. The tail ain't nowhere near that donkey. C, Allison Ames.
Wait, is you doing pin the tail on the donkey?
That's right.
Oh, okay. Wow. A? Is it A?
A is correct.
Easy Reader typed that before the question was finished being said.
Ooh, Easy Reader calling the shots. Here we go. Question number two.
Curtis dying for a D pick.
Question number two. Berserker is said to be half human, half blank. Is it A, half God warrior? B, tear you in half Southern gentleman? Or C, Terry Southern?
Back off of
Pete turns up his mic so he can really shout trivia like a bingo caller in a small town church.
I get a little hot sometimes. I get a little excited.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I've never noticed that. My love for you is like a truck berserker, is what the greater good says.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice.
A? Is it A again?
A is correct. Here we go. Last one. Question number three. Which comic company first put out Berserker? Is it A, Boom Studios? B, Why Do I Feel Like You're Always Trying to Trick Me? C, John Kahn.
It's crazy. I used to know the names that you would say, and now I don't.
Yeah.
Well, I had to
touch Pete.
A, is it A?
A is correct. Wow. Well, I had to, you know, I had to get crazy with it because people were guessing stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely got to get more.
Well, congratulations to Easy Reader. You're going to get a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. I'll try to get it to you quickly if you email me so you can use it for Black Friday sales when they come.
But
Pete,
great call.
What is the secret movie?
Of course, we're talking about the 1965 award-winning psycho thriller, The Collector. See what I did there? Comics, The Collector.
Met with silence.
Well, not going to be met with silence is the wonderful comics that are coming out tomorrow at comic book stores. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, my God. So much great stuff. Berserker, The Bleeding Tide, number one. Super excited about that. Great team on that. Can't wait to read it. Some amazing art. And also Absolute Batman, number 14. Hells to the Scott Snyder is killing the game. And the art is unbelievable. I can't wait. I'm so excited to read this.
Justin. Really nice. I can't believe Pete didn't say Absolute Wonder Woman, which is really good. But Pete hates it, unfortunately.
How dare you?
I don't know. He seems to have lost touch with it. But I have a trio of titles I want to hype up. Mm-hmm. We talked about them a lot. The Infertile Hulk, number one, by Philip Kennedy Johnson.
Yes.
Just been loving that. The fact that he's getting to start over with the number one here is really exciting. Been loving the book so far. Got to hype up Cloak or Dagger number two. We've, been medium on the Age of Revelation in general, but this book, I want this book to continue. Like, I thought the first issue was excellent. I think this is a great way to play Cloak and Dagger in the regular Marvel universe, so I'd love to see more from that. And of course, Department of Truth number 34. You know, we're
on. Oh, yeah. And I want to shout out Easy Reader there, KO number two. Excited to read that as well.
Yeah. A couple of other titles I'm excited about. Devil on My Shoulder, number one, is coming out from Kyle Starks and Piotr Kowalski. They're a great team of horror writer and artist. They've done a bunch of stuff for Dark Horse so far and haven't missed, so I'm excited to see what they do here. Also, after, I believe, a little bit of a delay, there's a new issue of Trinity, Daughter of Wonder Woman by Tom King and Bill Ortega.
Get you in the feels.
I love that book. Well, we'll find out. Usually they're pretty funny, right, Pete?
That's true, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens with this issue. And also another DC book, Batman Green Arrow, The Question Arcadia, is coming out. That's written and drawn by Gabriel Hardman, and he's been hyping up a more old school, like 80s style approach to it. So I'm really interested to see what he does with
that book. Curious about this too, because it reminded me of the Batman Hellboy Starman book from back in the day that Mike Mignola did. Well, but like you rarely see the triple. And so like
that's true.
Like, and I feel like they only do it when it's like a big take, which Batman Hellboy Starman was. So I agree with you. I'm excited. And I love The Question.
Yeah. And all those books and many more are going to be in our Stack podcast that comes out Wednesday, 9 a.m. in the Stack feed. And the
Comic Book Club. What are the odds of that?
And folks, that is it for this week's show.
Oh-hoo!
A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Alex DeCampi and Neil Edwards for coming on. You can check out issues of 2008.
You should.
2000 AD to read Rogue Trooper Ghost Patrol, which is ongoing.
Check it out.
All the way through Christmas. Next week on the show, Monica Joy and Jennifer Sleeper are going to be here to talk about Me, the Family Pet. And then also, we are going to have Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing on.
Woo-hoo!
To talk about Star Trek, The Last Starship, as well as all the other things they're working on. Comic Book Club News, our daily news show, Monday through Friday, every morning at 6 a.m. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and get ad-free versions of it. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky. Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember to dry brine your comics, guys.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.